Father God, we thank for our president, vice president, senators, and congressmen, the legislators, the Supreme Court, governors, mayors, police officers, the armed forces, the CIA, and FBI, and the Judge Verland, for their staff and families, administration, loved ones. We just thank you, Lord, that they make the right decisions for our nation. We have faith in you, Lord, that they hearken diligently unto you. You said the heart of the king is in hand, Lord, and you turn and work your way you will. We thank you, Lord, they're following you, Lord. And we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, for all the nations of the world, for Russia, the Commonwealth, the European nations, the Muslim nations, the Arab nations, the Asian nations, the third world countries, the communistic nations, that every nation has the gospel preached as a witness, then it should come. And Father God, we pray for all those laborers out there. You said the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray therefore, Lord, harvest. He will send forth laborers. Thank you, Lord, for anointing them and equipping them to do the work of Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, the body of Christ takes the gospel out from the top of the world, the bottom world, all the way around the world. That every day more sinners are receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And every day more believers, Lord, are being filled with the Holy Spirit and receiving your word, Lord. The engrafted word was able to save our souls, renew our minds. And they're going forth and using the name of Jesus, walking in victory, led by the Holy Spirit, walking in God and kind of love. We thank you, Lord, there's no division among us in the body of Christ, Lord. We don't sow discord among the brethren. We thank you, Lord, we walk in one accord, live in one accord in Jesus' name, and prefer one another. And God, I thank you for anointing me tonight, that I'll be able to say and do what you have me say and do. Thank you, Lord, for giving me utterance of the Holy Ghost. And I pray for all of us, Lord, as we hear your word and hear from the Holy Ghost, we'll go forth and become doers of word and led by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now let's say this together. You got your Bible? Lift up your Bible. Let's say this together. God, I thank you that I've got a Bible. It's the Holy Written Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that every person in this world has a Bible in the name of Jesus. I speak the Word of God comes to every person. And God's Word doesn't return void. So I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that every person in this world has the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You believe that? Hallelujah. Boy, if you didn't have a Bible, you'd be glad someone prayed that way for you, wouldn't you? Now, let's go over here to the Gospel of Mark, and we'll go here to Mark chapter 16. Now, Jesus said here, beginning here in verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They drink a deadly thing and shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands sick and shall recover." So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up to heaven and set the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now notice what Jesus did. This is what people call the Great Commission. And you want to receive this as your orders from God, that he told us to go ye. And you want to do this every day of your life, to be a go-yeer, taking the message out. One way you can do it is by interceding and praying for other dear people. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, hold your finger here and go over to Matthew chapter 9. I want you to see these scriptures in your Bible. In Matthew chapter 9, now verse 37 and 38. Jesus said, said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers in harvest." Well, you can do that for people and loved ones. You know that as you claim their salvation in Jesus' name, you can say, "Lord, I'm asking you to send laborers across their life." People prayed this way for me and probably for you too, that you're whether you're aware of it or not. First of all, you can pray in your known language. Things that you're aware of. Call people's names out to God in prayer in Jesus' name. And just keep standing the gap for them in the name of Jesus. George Mueller, if you ever read his autobiography, you know, he may not know anything about naming and claiming it like some of us have been doing, but all what he did mightily for God, having faith in God. And he prayed for friends of his that he knew before he got born again, and he prayed for like 50 years. Some got born again, two or three, the first several years. But then the last one got born again just after George Mueller passed away, I think at his funeral. So he got every one of them. And he just keep reminding God that he'd claim their salvation. And he prayed for them, stayed in the gap. Sometimes, you know, he'd say to somebody, "Are you saved yet? Or are you, excuse me, has the Lord answered my prayer yet? He said, well, what do you mean? Are you saved? And they said, no. He said, well, he will. Words like that. But I've thought about it many times. Bless his heart. How he stood in the gap. I don't know if he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. But thank God for what he did with what he had. And he just became a person that prayed for people that was lost. And every day you do want to thank God as you pray this prayer of faith and believe God the people released to your loved ones. Just thank you, God, every day they're saved in Jesus' name. The labors run across their path. There's nothing too hard for God to do. With men, it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Yeah, but you don't know them. Well, you don't know God. I mean, he's got a way of doing it. He confirms the word with signs following. And that's why you want to put the word out in Jesus' name. And you can just say, Lord, I shared the word with them, and your word doesn't return void in the name of Jesus. And just keep saying those promises in the name of Jesus. I mean, if you just told someone that Jesus is Lord, you're speaking the word. Anything beyond that, you give them scripture. People would come and witness to me. I'd be someplace you know. Seemed like these born-again Christians sort of came out of the woodwork. I'd be mind my own business. Somebody come up to me and start telling me about Jesus. Well, it bothered me. It annoyed me. It offended me. It upset me. It angered me. But you know, their words penetrated my heart and got through. Some man just kept saying to me, what about Jesus? I'd bring up all these things that I'm doing, you know, that's good deeds. And I'd bring up what other people's done or wrong that's born again. And he wouldn't even argue with me. He just said, well, what about Jesus? What he was saying to me, what has Jesus done wrong to you? And what are you going to do with Jesus? Well, those words stayed with me. You know, they don't know unless the Lord told them that I got saved. But you see, now, put the faith in God's word, the name of Jesus. And that's our assignment for the rest of our life. When we got born again, we immediately should start following God in Jesus' name and reaching everyone else. Just spend your whole life praying for others, witnessing others, planting seeds, God's word, and just stay busy working in God's kingdom. See, Jesus said, go ye. See, a lot of times people are waiting, but he's already told you, go ye. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Start right in your neighborhood and reach people around you. At the store and wherever you're at, somebody's going to bring up something about God or curse him or something, and you can say something about Jesus. And don't be moved by their faces. Don't be moved by the way they act, because we walk by faith and not by sight. And it's going to help you a lot in soul winning. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. And God will give you words to say. And don't speak against those words that you shared with someone. No, you shared the word, and the word was planted, and you've got the name of Jesus. And so pray that God will send laborers across their path. God needs you to pray for people. The harvest is plenteous. God knows that. He knows the laborers are few. But then he told us what to do. Pray ye. I've said, Lord, you've got just the person, the persons they'll listen to. And I thank you, Lord, for sending them across their path. You know, and you don't know who gets saved. Some people die and think, well, you know, my loved one died and they didn't ever got saved. But you know, there was a man in the hospital when I was in the hospital as a teenager, and he'd been a heavy sinner. You know, you lay in the bed next to him, and he'd tell stuff he did. And he was a tough guy. Well, they took me in, out of the room, you know, and took me to x-ray room. Had a place, you know, now, they probably could then, but they basically bring an x-ray machine to your room. But they took me out of there. Well, my brother, who was saved, came to tell me about Jesus. He was concerned that I was going to die, and he's going to try to get me saved before I die. So he said, well, I wasn't there. He thought he missed God. He's walking out of the room, and it came to his heart, talk to him. And you know, he got saved, that man got saved, and I think he died the next day or two, and his wife or no one else knows he got saved. Now think if she got saved years later and lived in grief thinking, well, you know, my husband Harold, he never got saved. But he did. He got born again. Right there in that bed and then died. I think they thought he was going to live a little longer. They knew he was going to die, but they thought he was going to live longer. And I think about people like that. You never know what a person did. Some people don't go tell people they got saved. They don't know to. They're scared, intimidated. Of course, you got the devil telling them all kinds of things. But it just takes a real simple prayer from your heart. Just saying the name of Jesus, meaning from your heart that he's your Lord. And acting in faith in Jesus' name. There was a lady missionary that she felt called in her heart to reach Native American Indians. So she'd go to the reservations and out west, preach, go from, you know, reservation to reservation. God used her, woman evangelist. I've read about her before, you know. So anyway, they told her about this village that she went to of Indians, or tribe, or whatever you call it. That now there's this one guy, and he's real big, unusually big for an Indian, native Indian. He must have been like 6'5 or something, real big guy. And he gets drunk and comes in and tears up religious meetings. So, you know, we just want to warn you ahead of time. Everybody that's came here got their meeting tore up. Man, he'd tear up chairs and everything. Podium. They said it'd take two or three different sheriff cars to get him corralled when he got to drinking. They called the police out to the reservation and you know, try to get this guy corralled over anything, but when he got to drinking. Well, she went ahead, you know, believed God wanted her to preach, and she set up the meeting, like a Brush Harbor meeting. It's where they put poles in the ground and then put the wire across the poles, and they throw up brush on top there to give them shade during the day. Put some lanterns up there. I preach in Brush Harbors, you know. And so sometimes snakes crawl up there in those things. If it's warm weather in places, you know, all kinds of things hang from those things. You know, a friend of mine, he was over in Jamaica preaching at the Brush Harbor. And while he was Bobby Hollins, he was over there preaching, and he's a real big, looked like he worked out a lot physically. He told me he didn't. But boy, for a guy that never worked out, he sure had a chiseled body and big muscles. And so just, I don't know, maybe it's just naturally looked that way. But anyway, so the missionaries told him about the snakes that's around there, how big they are, you know. And so they're preaching this Brush Harbor, you know, now and then you'd look up, see if one of them's there hanging. I remember one night I was in a meeting in some jungle place, and something, a huge, gigantic lizard like that long. Of course, you know, if you've never seen one, they're twice that long, you know. It's about the size of a tractor trailer. And, you know, when you get scared. So it came in. We're singing a hallelujah song. And you could recognize the tune, but you didn't know their words. I mean, you know, hallelujah, but the other words of the song. As it came in to that Brush Harbor meet, I just got up in a chair and kept singing. As it walked out, I got back down. See? Tell like the American. So it was this huge thing. See, was big to me. I mean, it could have been this big, but you know how it is. If you've never seen one, it's gigantic. Like a little kid, you know, it was big. Like a little boy was screaming, you know, almost bloody murder. His mom ran downstairs and looked at the little boy, and he's just screaming. And she goes, "Well, what's son? What's wrong?" He said, there's a bear in the backyard. She looked out, and she goes, "No, that's not a bear, that's a dog. Now, you lied. You go upstairs and ask God to forgive you. Go in your bedroom and pray." So a little bit later, she came upstairs, you know, and said, "You ask God to forgive you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "What?" She said, "What'd God say?" He said, "Don't feel bad, son. I thought it was a bear the first time I saw it, too." It's a joke. But anyway, so, you know, your imagination can make things look real big, you know. So these missionaries, they'll tell you about snakes and diseases, you know, and everything else that Americans got when they came over and preached. That's always a real faith builder, you know. You're believing God already, and then they tell you about all the diseases, and they told me they send missionaries home in the pine box, and here you go. Well, so Bobby's there. He's preaching, you know, and been doing these meetings with some other people. Well, they're sleeping underneath that thing, too. So one night, they finally blew out the lantern. This is like a Coleman lantern. Doesn't take too long to turn them off, but it takes a while to get one lit. So they're under sleeping. He said, "Yeah, I'm just laying there. It's hot, tropical weather. Trying to sleep. You know, it takes a while. You know, it's real hot weather. Boy, that'd be nice tonight, wouldn't it? Real hot weather, you know. Sure be nice to try to sleep through hot weather, huh? So that'd be a nice problem. So he's laying there, you know, trying to sleep. Finally dozed off asleep, and all of a sudden a huge, gigantic snake fell on him. Oh, man, he grabbed that thing, you know, and wrestled to the ground, and he's got it down screaming, you know. And finally, they got the lantern lit, light the lantern, you know. He's trying to find the head, and what it was a big rope that fell from the they had tied up there that had fell from the, I went to Bible school with him. He went on missionary trip, you know. We all busted him over this, you know. Here's this real big guy, and they finally get the lantern pumped up and turned on. He's got it, you know. You know, he's thinking this thing's a python or whatever, you know, anaconda. Well, you know, your imagination, the devil tell you all kinds of things, you know. Thank God we can tread upon serpents, huh? Well, Paul was handling some firewood, and a viper bit him. He shook it off the fire. And that amazed the people, you know. They just know now he's going to drop dead. A viper, man. And there's a revival broke out over this. See, we need this supernatural power happening that we cast out devils. There's people that's demon-possessed that just needs you to take authority over that in Jesus' name. You see someone that's crazy or doing something weird, just say, Satan, I bind that spirit in him. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. They could be standing on a street corner. You're waiting for the light to turn green. That's okay. You're there for a reason. You say, in Jesus' name. They don't have to hear you say it. The devil has to. In Jesus' name, come out of that person in Jesus' name. You can't have him, Satan, in Jesus' name. And take authority over him. And just use that. You know, you see a whiskey bottle or somebody that looks like they're on drugs or homeless or something. Take authority of that spirit in Jesus' name. Don't let them just walk around bound up in poverty and sickness and disease and demon spirits. See, Jesus gave us his name. And you give the faith decree in Jesus' name to people. You may never see him again till you meet Jesus on that great day. But there'll be people testify how the power of God set them free in Jesus' name. And just, you know, T.L. Osborne, he'd be preaching, and they'd have people chained up that totally lost their mind, naked men. Can't even keep them clothed. While he's preaching, they just come to themselves. Can't even figure out how they got there. Power of God, see? Just manifestation. He's the one that started praying mass prayers. The Lord began to do that. I mean, this is something people didn't do that we knew of. They'd pray one by one over prayer requests. But he got so there were so many people, he'd pray one mass prayer. Now a lot of people do it. But he'd pray one mass prayer and like popcorn going off all over this outdoor meeting. People start getting healed, delivered, saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, just like this. And that was just almost unheard of in America. Because we were taught, you know, you pray one by one. Thank God for that. But God began to think, I can deliver all these people. You know, we know he's done it. But I can deliver all these people in a moment's time. You just a mass prayer. So TV ministries then later on started doing it. Just one prayer over the television. And people get set free of stuff. Write in their ministers and tell them. Call in. Call the prayer line. Call in what they got delivered from. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people in some of these huge ministries. Just delivering one prayer, one decree in Jesus' name. You got the name of Jesus for witnessing. And that's your ministry as a believer. That's why you're still on this earth. It's because God needs you here reaching other people. He needs all of us, giving our life, the rest of our life, just to serve him. Pray you live a long life so you get as many people in the kingdom of God as you can. Get as many people in with the name of Jesus. You have authority in Jesus' name. You have the anointing that abides within you, the Bible says, in Jesus' name in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. The anointing abides within you. Use that anointing in Jesus' name. You know, no matter how people act, look how I acted to people. But you know what? That didn't affect people. Apparently they just knew, hey, you know, I never got to go talk to the people that witnessed to me. Be total strangers. I'd like to be able to say, you know, if I knew them, hey, what did the devil tell you about me? You know, he probably said, don't say nothing to him. I tell people I went to church. You with me? And they didn't act like they even heard it. They just keep telling me about Jesus. Talk to me about the Lord. Are you saved? Are you born? And I'd like people Tell them I was. But see, they have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God's letting them know that I'm not. And see, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He's there to lead you and guide you. And you just sometimes you just have to say something to someone. You know, in your spirit. That's part of walking in love. You know, your flesh isn't going to want to. Your mind isn't going to want to. The devil will beseech you not to. But you've got the name of Jesus. And you just want to believe that every day you're led by the Holy Spirit to come in contact with somebody. We used to pray in the body of Christ, Lord, the person closest to hell, let me meet them today. That means someone that's going to drop dead or something happened to them. Who do you have, Lord, that's closest to dying? Leaving this earth, what they meant. And she snatched him out of the clutches of Satan, who's trying to keep them in bondage. See, over here, this is what you're coming up against. Over here in 2 Corinthians, notice over here in chapter 4. This helped me out so much. Why you tell someone the good news, and they didn't want it. But here in 2 Corinthians, this is what you're dealing with. In chapter 4, now verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, some translations say Satan, like American Standard, in whom the God, lowercase g, of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, this is what you're dealing with. This is why when you tell someone about Jesus, you know, they don't understand what in the world you're talking about. Well, Satan blinds their minds. But that word penetrates their heart. And the Holy Spirit will work with it. If you do the sharing, then he'll work on the person. He'll keep bringing that word back to their remembrance. You share the word with someone, the Holy Spirit then, his job, he can't do what you can do and you can't do what he does. He's there in the church, in the body of Christ. He's in our lives to help us witness. He gave us power to be a witness. You should receive power after that the Holy Ghost will be come unto you. And you should be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then most parts of the earth. So it's power to witness. I used to hear people say that been saved for years, and then they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They talk about the difference, how that revolution changed their whole life. You know, people that didn't even believe in speaking in tongues, got born again, you know, didn't believe in speaking in tongues, heard things against it, and later on in life, maybe 20 years later, 25 years later, someplace got baptized in the Spirit, and they talk about how it changed their life, how they had so much more power now to be a witness. But see, the Holy Spirit gives you that power. He'll just nudge your heart. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night and have you praying for people. You know, you wake up and you think, well, you know, why am I awake? You know, you usually think, maybe I'll go to the bathroom or something, but just, Lord, I don't know why I'm awake, but in Jesus' name. If there's anything going on, I thank the Holy Spirit to give me utterance. And I'm just start praying in tongues. Till you fall back asleep. Or till you know something in your spirit. You may have to just get out of bed. You know, sometimes you just know that, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. And I'm just going to get up and pray. And just stay with it. Holy Spirit's doing something. What's he doing? I don't know. But he needs you and I to yield to him. And see, we're going to be much more effective for help God in his work. He called us along to help him. So he wants us to be witnesses. He wants us to be people of prayer. We're coming against these principalities and powers that blind people's minds. And just tell Satan, you can't have whoever in Jesus' name. I forbid it. I claim this person for Jesus. I claim for the body of Christ. I claim their salvation. It's been purchased. Jesus bought it. God wants everybody saved. He's not willing that any should perish. And as we pray, intercede, and witness, stand in the gap for these dear people, love on them, be a blessing. I mean, there's just people you call or do things you don't even want to. But you know in your heart you need to. You'd be in a situation, all of a sudden, you know, you'd be walking out of the bank or something, it'd just come to your heart, you need to say something to this person. I don't know what to say to them. And I'm going to believe God, though. You know, first of all, you got to cast down fear, and then I'm going to believe God will open my mouth, something will come to him. It's one thing to get up and preach. But, you know, when you're not anointed, you're just walking around doing errands and things, and suddenly in your heart it comes to you that you need to say something to this person about God, about Jesus, about the Word of God, a verse. And many times you may not even know what it is. But just by opening up your mouth, the Holy Spirit can say something. Just like if he's going to speak in tongues. You know what you're going to say. But you begin to believe God, the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, and tongues comes out your mouth. What's that way with the word witnessing? And people are, you know, try to get the person one-on-one. If all possible. When they're by themselves. And talk to them about the Lord. Remember Philip? He comes along, there's a eunuch there, and the Spirit of God moves on Philip's heart to go tell him about Jesus from the Old Testament. He asked the person, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no, I don't have anybody to teach me. And he witnessed to him to the point that the guy said, what forbid me to be baptized? He said, well, you believe in the Lord? I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some water here. They stopped the thing and baptized the guy in water. When the guy came out of the water, Philip's gone. He got translocated. That's a pretty neat ministry, isn't it? You just think you got to use a car. I mean, this is the book of Acts, what God does. I believe God does stuff like that in Jesus' name. There was a famous book out years ago. God's Got Your Number, or Knows Your Name, or whatever it was. Man's, this is back when people, they had pay phones. Guys walking, a Christian, born-again Christians walking down the street. And a payphone's ringing. He goes over and answers it and talks to the person on the phone that doesn't know why the guy called this number and gets him saved. I think when a man answers the phone, he used the person's name. It was a miraculous testimony. And see, we in the body of Christ, we got the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in us. You do what you can do. He does what you can't do. See, we're relying on him. We're relying on God's word, that this is God's word, and we know that. This is God's word, and when we share it with someone, it's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It pierces people's hearts. Just the name of Jesus got to me. Those guys just wouldn't, they were relentless with the name of Jesus. See, we're to shout it from the housetop. We're not to put this underneath the bed or underneath the table. It's to be a light to be seen, like Jesus was crucified on a hill for everybody to see. Wasn't something in some dark alley no one knew about. And so we're to proclaim it, to let people know. That's the only reason we're still on this earth, is to keep telling people God could have raptured you up as soon as you got born again. But we're here to do a work. We're here to occupy. We're about our Father God's business. And you want to give the rest of your life into God's work. Do everything you can to get his message out. Share it, pass it on. Give out materials, pray for people, fast, intercede, stand the gap, praise God and worship God that it's done in Jesus' name. Say it by faith in Jesus' name. I call them saved, born again, spirit-filled, on fire for God. God's word doesn't return void. Satan, you can't have him in Jesus' name. And see, that's what we're doing. As the body of Christ, we become much more effective then. And there'll be much more people coming to the family of God, many more people. Because of the work we've got to do. Oh, the time's going by fast. And God needs us to be out there on the front lines for him. Every day, every soul's worth it. In Jesus' name. Just like George Mueller prayed for all those years, bless his heart. Never, wouldn't give up. How many times the devil told him it's not working? How many years you've been praying for this guy? He's still not saved. But he stayed with him. Not only did he a great work for God, he interceded for all these friends. He could have said, well, you know, I got 2,000 orphans. I've done something for God. He didn't act that way. He took this as his personal responsibility that they get saved. It's real easy to adopt that attitude. Well, you know, I prayed. But it's intercession. It's going before God. God needs you to stand in the gap, all of us. People get so caught up in their own life that they don't think about the person that's lost. They think nothing of, you know, it should work on your heart constantly that when you know someone's not saved, that you want to pray and intercede for them. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I think the Holy Spirit will give me utterance in Jesus' name. And I'm just going to trust the Lord to give me the utterance as I pray for them in the name of Jesus. And just pray and intercede. I knew people when I got born again were so concerned the rapture's going to take place. They was actually afraid their loved ones were going to be left behind. And they'd fast and pray. We'd have all-night prayer meetings, basically for the lost. In our church where I got saved at, I never thought anything of it. Too much. Constantly have people born again. But they fasted and prayed. Interceded. You know, we didn't know anything about naming and claiming or nothing like that. We all talked out in unbelief. But people were concerned that Jesus was coming back and these loved ones or people was going to be left behind. And it was just constantly. One time during a service, Sunday night service, I mean, this is just one on a regular basis. There was people that came from other churches, proper churches where they didn't shout and scream and yell, but they come to Sunday night to our services from all kinds of churches. And they'd sit there, like they got a two before in their back and just look at stuff happen. Someone speaking tongues or running down the aisle or wave a hanky. Now you got to realize you go from a church like you're sitting in a funeral that you're going to one that's like a circus. This is a shock to you. Okay? And the devil is sure amp it up a little bit too while you're just there just get you offended. Well, we got this guy that been a Nazarene. Nazarenes didn't believe in speaking in tongues. They thought it was of the devil. Okay, get pictures. His name's John Donson. And John Donson had been Nazarene. And that guy, just before I came along, got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. So did his wife, Donna. Now, they were like people set in the church. You just didn't move. Like your soldiers. Two, they're going to Pentecostal church on Sunday nights because they've been hearing things have been going on there. And they're sitting there like this, so they tell me, in this service and all kinds of things. You're going to a church that believes tongues are of the devil. You're visiting a Pentecostal church and people are speaking in tongues. Now, this is the real shock. Well, finally, they got baptized in the Spirit. And got turned on to God. They tell me that John Donson talked to everybody about Jesus. He had a men's clothing store. He would not shut, real polite, kind guy, not a big mouth guy like me. Hardly would say nothing, but he'd talk about Jesus. So I want you to get the picture of this guy. Now, John Donson sat in the church, Pentecostal church, Sunday night, or night service. Wife Donna there with him. Service going on. And some reserve couple, Marilyn and John Wright, came from another church to visit. They heard about the temple. It's called Full Gospel Temple. They heard about going to the temple. So they came from a starchy, dead church, and they're sitting there. Well, Pastor Helton's preaching. He's got a lot of strangers in the church. This is Sunday night. It was like evangelistic tent meetings. I went to church here. I didn't like going Sunday mornings. It just wasn't like Sunday night was something else. But we had these prayer meetings all the time. Looking back at it, a bunch of us go in another part of the church and pray till the service started, till we heard the music. Do it all the time, So, Brother Helton gives the, Pastor Helton, he gave the altar call. And a few people go down for it. And John Donson gets up out of his seat that's in a pew, walks over to the other part of the church, big church. He's about like 1,000 people. Walks over to John Wright and grabs him by the hand, a man to a man, and walks down to the altar here, and they both knelt, and John Wright got born again that night. Mister, like that. I said to John Donson, I said, I felt I should go over and help him. Well, see, Pastor Helton did all he could. He gave the altar call. He's waiting for anybody who wants to come. And some man went around the cross there and got over the guy sitting way over here. Things like that would happen. He's sitting there. And see, John Donson got up. He's not a person who gets up and does anything. Put this picture in here. This isn't some big mouth Christian that just won't leave everybody alone and won't shut up. This is a guy just enjoying the service. But see, in his heart, keeps saying, go over to that man. Go over to that man. Go over to that man. Oh, I'm not going to do that. The pastor does that. See how the body of Christ is supposed to operate? Because it's not one person. It's all of us. Some plant, some waters. And see, we need to learn to follow up. See, that'd be so embarrassing. Go, what if the guy says, leave me alone? I'm just visiting. Because he's the type of guy that could probably let you know he was just visiting. I've already been baptized. I knew both of them personally. So, or got to know them, you know. So this is how God can work. Some people plant, some people waters. You can't go by what you see. You can't go by what they say. You've got God's word, and you've released the word in Jesus' name. And we all need to step out in faith. See, we've already been told, go ye. So we've already got word from Jesus. He didn't say, wait ye, stop ye, don't now ye. No, go ye. You've already got go ye. So, ye is you, and Jesus told you to go. So you've already been told in his name. See, you're not. It's not you. You're going in his name, in my name, in my name. I'm going in the name of Jesus. I'm going in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go in the name of Jesus. That's how you look at it. I'm going to the grocery store in the name of Jesus today. Use the name on everything you do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Say it by faith. Say it by faith. Say it in Jesus' name because the word says so. And plant the seeds. You don't know what's going to happen 50 years from today. You don't know what's going to happen. You're like me. You don't know what's going to happen 15 minutes from today. No. So the seeds you plant, God uses. He takes that. And he uses that. And there's people that say that have been baptized in the Spirit, and you talk to them about speaking in tongues. That you know, talk to them about being filled with the Spirit. Have some scripture there. Give them some verses. Just plant the seed. See, again, some plant, some waters, but God gives the increase. Paul said, I planted, Apollos water, but God give the increase. So then neither see the planted thing, neither see the water, but God give the increase. So it's not us, it's God working through us. And oh, I'm telling you something. If you just reached one person and they went to heaven, one person in your whole life. If you lived to be 120 years old, you witnessed for 80 years, and you only reached one person, and they didn't go to hell and they went to heaven, it'd be worth it all. 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 One soul. One soul. If you reached one person, it'd be worth it all. It'd be worth it all. Just reaching one, it'd be worth it all. Oh, the person that God reached. Forever, for eternity. What a blessed time that would be. That one person got reached. And all the body of Christ has been given the Great Commission. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's you and I. We're believers. That's every Christian. Everyone's saved. Everyone's born again. It's a believer. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Speak in new tongues. Cast out devils. See, speaking in tongues is going to help charge you up. On the way to the grocery store, pray in tongues. On the way to Walmart, pray in tongues. On the way to gas station, pray in tongues. Just keep your spirit man prayed up in Jesus' name. And you'll be someplace, somewhere, sometime and be able to pray for someone. I know you could be just looking at clothes, you know, and something's going on with this lady over here, this guy over here. See, we've been given this mission to help these people. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You can just pull someone over the side, you know, and just lay hands on them in Jesus' name. And see, we need to stay active, not just inside the building here in the church service, but out that door in Jesus' name, that you always sort of speak with all respects. You sort of got your spiritual antenna up. You're always just trying to, who needs help? Who needs prayed for? Who needs ministered to? That's our ministry. See, we need to be think more spiritual than we do. We're always thinking, you know, who needs this? You know, we just think we went down there to the grocery store, you know, grab some bread and stuff. But why we're there? Why we're there? We're just waiting for something to happen. Now, when I got a hold of 1 Peter 2:24, I'd wait till someone sneezed or something. Man, I'd blast them. When, you know, you're healed. Sure, they loved all that. But, you know, I was zealous. And people at church made fun of it where I got saved. All they said, he's got zeal without knowledge. Well, maybe so. But you don't want to lose your zeal. You want to keep that enthusiasm that you've got childlike faith. You just believe your Father God can do anything. And brag on God. Talk about how big he is to people. You get God to move in people's lives that you just all of a sudden prayed for. You know, and they got this thing right away, whatever it was. In Jesus' name. God will work through this, through the words that you share. And think about this. You're alive for the Great Commission. I mean, you're God's child. You've got all these benefits, but you can serve God. Be part of us serving God. I mean, it'd be an honor to do anything for God. Just take out a trash can for God would be an honor. Knowing that you're helping God get something out, get something done. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I was so scared that when I got born again, the rapture's going to take place, that I never got to do it. First of all, I hadn't even read the Bible. I'm thinking I'd be the only person in the heavens that never even read the Bible. And that bothered me, so I started listening to the Bible on tape. And then I'm thinking, you know, they talk about having the crowns to lay at Jesus' feet. You know, souls, you got saved. Well, I haven't got any crowns. I haven't reached anybody yet. You know, and, oh man, all this is about, I want to do something for the Lord. Don't you want to do something for God? Don't you want to make an impact on this world, you know? Before you leave this earth, you want to make sure you've done something to be a blessing to someone? Sure, let that just beat every day in your heart. That you just can't wait to just minister for the Lord and help someone else. See, this is a body ministry, God working through everyone. That's how God, that's how Jesus can reach everyone. Is by all of us doing our part. Not just the preacher, that's just what they do for their calling. But all of us that have got to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Share the gospel, the good news. The good news to the sick, the good news to the sinner, the good news to the person's in bondage, that they've been delivered, they've been healed, they've been set free. Jesus took their sins. Most people in the world didn't even know that. They don't even know that anything about sin, that Jesus took our sins. But you can tell them about the name of Jesus. And there's nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. It's the name above every name. In heaven, how about this? In heaven, in earth, and beneath the earth. There's no name more powerful than the name of Jesus in heaven. And God's in heaven. He gave Jesus that name. And that name is the name we serve God in Jesus' name. We don't go in our name. We don't go in our power. Otherwise, we'd be shaken, scared. We go in the name of Jesus. We go because God's with us. Greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. And when you're faced with having to go in someplace, just say, "I stand outside that door. Before you go in, greater is he that's in me than he is in Walmart." Nothing against Walmart, you know, but... or whoever, you know. Oh, yeah. Start listening to people at the post office and places you're at the gas station. Wait for a door to open where you can say something. Wait for that opportunity and then say something. And then just plant a seed. You did your part. You know, that's how it works. We serve the Lord. And you want to live a long, long life to be here on this earth, to serve God, to pray, and intercede, to get as many people as you can in God's family. Tell them about Jesus. Tell those people that know Jesus about the Holy Spirit. Tell people sick about 1 Peter 2:24. Oh, I wish someone had told me as a child that not only Jesus took sins, but he took our sickness and diseases. All the dear sick people, call their names out to God. Pray for one another that you may be healed. There's somebody just releasing your faith and praying for them. And a lot of things, you know, the devil will ding-dong you about. It's coming to your mind. Don't do this today. Don't say this. Now, I remember Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland. I mean, his best stories seem to, you know, with all respect to all of his stories. It's, you know, when him and his wife just got started, they go knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. And the miraculous, running thing was, most of the people invited them in. And Brother Copeland said, the most common question usually would be, what church you go to? And Brother Copeland said, I'm not here to talk to you about church. I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. Does anybody here need prayer? You know, they just knock on the door. Does anybody here need prayer? One time, Gloria went with a lady. They went, you know, door to door. They're going to these, like, dumpy houses. And a lady came to the door. And these girls started talking. Gloria and the other lady started talking about Jesus. She goes, wait right here. And the lady went in the bathroom, took a shower, and put on a dress on, came out and said, please come in. She wanted to make sure that she had one dress. And she put on, she goes, now tell me what you have to tell me. And God did mighty miracles. People got saved, got healed, got delivered. You know, everyone you know needs Jesus. Everyone's got something that need to be prayed about. I've always wanted to have a concession stand like, or, you know, get your picture, something like that, close to Central Park in the summertime, to where people come out of the subway and have a sign up, do you need prayer? And wait for people to wander over. Many times I've seen this. Come over. And when they ask, they say they got a problem, tell them about Jesus and pray for them. Everybody needs prayer. And while you're praying, you can drop Jesus in on the subject. They see the sign, see their defenses is down when they see something that's, you need prayer? I used to ask guys in jail, do you need prayer? Do you need God to do anything for you? Need a miracle? Is something God you need? Then I could talk to him about Jesus. Then I could share a scripture with him. Their defenses, you know, kind of down. You know, some people say, oh, yeah, I need you to pray for my wife. You know, we're not getting along, or, you know, can't find her cat. Or there's all kinds of things that come up. Well, I'm going to pray. We'll believe God you find your cat in Jesus' name. And sometimes you'd say stuff like, and your cat's coming home, or whatever's going on. I told Terry Wooten his parents wasn't going to get a divorce. I hung up the phone. I thought, why in the world did I say that? And about 2 weeks later, he met me. He's in a convenience store. I was in there, and he came in. He saw my carpet van outside. Came in looking for me. And you know what? I don't want to see this guy because my head's telling me it didn't work. He called my house. Tom gave him my number. And I'm talking to him on the phone. He's telling me about his mom and dad. He's crying. They've been married for... He's in his 30s, though. They've been married for years. Now, Tom was the toughest guy I knew, and Terry Wooten was tougher than Tom. Terry Wooten was Tom's best friend. And he was in college. He'd taken college late in life. He was in college, and they told him, pretty well got him totally convinced that he's an atheist. There's no God. He calls me up Sunday morning before I got up to go to church and tells me, he's crying. And I'm listening like you do to people. Thinking about what to say or when I can say something or what am I supposed to do. You know, I'm not. All of a sudden, I said, well, we're going to pray. And Jesus is going to show you that he's alive. Your parents are not going to get a divorce. And this is proved to you that Jesus is alive and he does miracles. Because you've always said, if God's alive, you know, whatever he'd said about Jesus. Hung that phone up after I prayed. What do you think you'd think? What do you think you'd think? What in the world did you say that to him for? Oh, man, I beat myself up. And the devil's there to help beat me. Go ahead, you know. You hold the stick, I'll beat. Why'd you tell him that? I don't know. I didn't mean to. You know. So a couple weeks later, I don't want to see the guy because it's not going to happen. This is Terry Wooten calling up crying. This is how bad this thing is. You know, he's not emotional like I am. So he comes in, he's looking for me. I want to duck behind the counter, those aisles they have. Oh, man, he comes up and says, you know, grabs me. Now, he's not a hugger. I said, how's your parents? He says, oh, hell, Rich, they're together. They're doing great and everything, you know. I said, now, you remember, Terry, why Jesus did this for you? To show you he's alive. Now, Jesus expected me to stand on his word. So I don't get the confirmation. I'm a believer. He wants me to stand on his word through thick and thin, through storms or no storms, right? Because we're told, having done all of what? So we've been told by Jesus what to do, right? So what do? We stand on this word for ourselves. That doesn't mean we don't stand together. And that doesn't mean we don't people pray for us. But God expects you and I that know some scripture to use them. It's called being a doer of the word, right? Terry doesn't know nothing. He believes he's an atheist because his professors. He used to want me to come into college and take these people on. I'm not going in there. They eat you up, man. You know? Well, this is what God did for him. You know what? I mean, you're so proud of God. I mean this in the right way. I don't know what other word to say. I know God hates pride for what God does for someone. You're so thrilled to watch God do something for someone. Some sinner. Someone's living sin all their life and hard. You just can't think. You can't thank God enough. Because you knew he did stuff like that. And finally, this is the worst person you know of, the hardest heart person you know. People used to go after these people. The one that says the devil tells you impossible, they'll never get saved. You don't know them. Well, Saul was a pretty rough person. He's killing people, putting people in prisons as Christians. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he fell to the ground. And all the guys is with him. Jesus has manifested himself to people before. People that were being prayed for, he'd show up to sinners' lives and do something. Or send an angel. They got their attention. God's got a way of reaching them. I don't know how he's going to do it. That's none of my business. I'm supposed to say something. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to stand in the gap. If God can get me to do that, his power will manifest in your life. Because God runs heaven. He gave the responsibility to reach the world to you and I. Now he equipped us. He gave us his anointing. He gave us the name of Jesus. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us his word. And he'll confirm his word with signs following. You believe that? Because that's what he said. He'll confirm it. And see, then he can get all, if you share it, then he can get all the credit because you know it wasn't you. If you, you know, it wasn't anything I did for Terry Wooden. It wasn't anything I did for Tom or anyone else. It wasn't those guys that did something for me. It was those words they said that God honored in Jesus' name. So it's not you doing it. Don't be worried about you. You're not the one doing it. We couldn't do it anyway. But you can share. You can open your mouth. Look, you speak in tongues, you can open your mouth about Jesus. You'll be laughed at, made fun of, mocked, what it cussed, everything. So what? You planted a seed. Say what you want to say. You can say to the person, say what you want to say, but Jesus is Lord, and walk out of the room. And that, the Holy Spirit can pierce their heart. Open up their heart, like Lydia in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit opened up her heart. It's the Holy Spirit working with you. You're not going to feel him, but he promised he'd never leave you. He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because of my going to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world's judge. Jesus gave us the commission. You think of all those scriptures you know. Those aren't just for you. Those are to use for other people to share. All the verses that you know, the Holy Spirit can just bring one of them back out of your mouth to someone. A financial verse. Everybody's going to need financial verses. Everybody's going to need Jesus as the healer. Everybody's got a child, a loved one that's on drugs or in trouble or they don't know even what they're even doing. Everybody needs help. There's no one that doesn't need help. I learned this at 9/11. I mean, the devil almost had me convinced that there are people that don't need help. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs God. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, delivered, and set free. Everybody's got a need. And only Jesus can fill it. So we're not to sit in church and soak up all the word. We're to take what we know and share it with other dear people. In Jesus' name. I mean, just doing things. Praying over your food in a restaurant's a witness. Stand up for Jesus and saying, thank you, Jesus, or praise the Lord, or thank God for it in Jesus' name. I was in Starbucks a long time ago, and there was some college kid that was waiting on me, real attitude kid. You know the kind you want to reach across the counter and just bless him? With a fistful of dollars? I mean, And so I said something like, well, just pray for me. And he chuckles. I go, you do pray, right? And he chuckles again. He said, you know, one too many professors. I said, well, who to? You know, God, the one that made you? You know, say what you want to say and what you think you've been taught. It just starts out with something like that. I had no idea I'm going to get a conversation by just being kind to say to the person when I wanted to do something else to pray for me. Little did we know, I'm going to get this guy to tell me, you know, this is a joke. Praying was like talking to the air. People try to stop the work of God. They can't stop it. You can't stop God's work. There's no person powerful enough to stop God's work. Though they'll try. But they can't stop it. And they'll do that. Some people dedicate their whole life to stake out Christianity, take out Jesus, take out the name, and take out what they call religion. They take it as their personal responsibility in life to stop it. But they can't. The church is a triumphing church. We're more than conquerors. We're world overcomers. Already. The devil's already defeated. You just serve him notice that he is. How many times that dear lady would go to those town hall meetings? Stand up in those meetings and stop them if they were going to pray. The city hall meeting, you can't do that. It's against the Constitution. She'd take her daughter with her. And she went all over, worked to get prayer out of school. And one day they couldn't find her at her office. Couldn't find her daughter. They found her in a field. Someone had cut her up and dug a hole and put her in it. She dedicated her whole life and she swore that there was no God. I often wonder what that lady thought when they started cutting her up. The ministers that tried to reach her, the patience of God for years. And that's why we intercede, because people go over in Satan's territory. They do the work of the devil and they think they're doing the work of God. She was so proud to be an atheist. So you get so deceived by demon spirits, you think what you're doing is right. But thank God for God's mercy. Prayer changes things, and people need to be prayed for. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your power that you gave us in the name of Jesus. The name is above every name. Thank you, Lord, for anointing us to do your work. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. We cast out devils in Jesus' name, all because of the great commission you told us to go ye. We thank you, Father, for our loved ones are saved. We thank you for sending laborers across their path. In Jesus' name, Lord. Pray for our loved ones tonight, Lord. Family, children. Thank you, they're protected, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, the angel of the Lord camps around about them. You know, is there somebody God puts in your heart to pray for? Just pray for them right now. Thank the Lord for sending laborers across their path. In Jesus' name. Talk to the Lord all the time. He's your Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I take these scriptures in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. I put people's names in here. Pray for people, Christians, too. Their eyes be opened up. Well, you know, We all, you know, believe in for the Holy Spirit to give us more revelation from God's Word. Do the Word that you know. Honor it. But these prayers here in Ephesians 1, verse 16 through 23, and chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And I started out, the Bible had then, I wrote people's names here in the column here. Just added names to it. You know, they'll just, and call people's names out in prayer. That way I was praying the Word. I was looking for something to pray. And also, you know, pray in the Spirit. Thank God and praise God. Do that every day. But it's an honor to serve the Lord and be a blessing. There's missionaries that's given their whole life, stories I've heard. Oh, to be a missionary, you know. Go to some tribe place that's never heard the gospel. Spend your whole life. Trying to reach people that don't know Jesus. And that's our mission in life, is to reach someone else. Just your neighbor, a friend, a loved one, a co-worker, a person you meet. Plant the seeds. I remember people used to talk to the man here at the hotel. Talk to him about the Lord. Try to get him to come to the meeting. And so when I came back here, what was it, last year or this year, whenever? Talked to the guy that managed the hotel. Hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? Oh, well, they found him dead in his apartment. Well, people talking about the Lord, be good to believe God that he prayed that prayer. That's Jesus' heart. The people, just, you know, they're waiting for the meeting. They'd be out there by the front desk talking to him, you know, before they remodeled. It was a different position it was. I think about stuff like that a lot. You know, somebody came up to me one day and they had a set of tapes and loaned them to me. I thought the other day, Lord, if I hadn't taken those, I never would have got the word of faith. I never would have known anything about walking in victory. You know, if you reject it, you know, and you get hard over it. There's all kinds of ways you can witness to people. All kinds of different kinds of people, Christians, sinners, saints, whoever. Just being a blessing, doing something for him. Always wanting to do something for Jesus. Always wanting to serve him. He needs us. See, he's the head, we're the body. And see, just like your head needs your body to cooperate with it, he's the head and he needs us to cooperate with him. Giving money, doing stuff to people, helping people. Just do it as unto Jesus, as unto the Lord. He uses that. Amen. I thank God for people that witness. I have a lot of respect for them. I learn from them. You know, I always think that's what I should be doing. I like to hear people say they prayed for someone. They don't know, but I listen to that stuff. Wow, you were something, and you prayed with them? Yeah. And they talk like it's no big deal. I mean, it's a big deal to pray, but they're just doing what they believe they're supposed to do. I've always respected those kind of Christians. I mean, we love everybody, but, you know, thought, wow, they did, huh? Talked to them about the Lord. Prayed for them. Prayed with them. Witnessed to them. It's a great work God let us get involved in. I'm glad he did, aren't you? Wants to use us. We're his children. Now we can work with him. It's a family business. It's God and his children working together to build his kingdom. We're his sons and daughters. And we can work with our Father. That's pretty good. I mean, there's no one getting along you're going to get better along with than God. And so you can work with him. And his building is in his vineyard. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.